What is God up to when the bad gets worse? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
God has a purpose for us. And when things happen to us, why, you know, we like it when good things happen. Oh, God, this is all wonderful. Good things are happening to me. But how about when bad things happen? But nothing comes into your life, nothing comes into my life, unless it first filters through God's fingers of love. Things can happen to you, and you can say, God is picking on me. Why is God picking on me? He's not picking on you, He's working on you. So just know, God's plan for your life is to bring Him glory. That's the only reason that you exist. And people notice, not in the good times, they notice in the hard times if your Christianity is real.
Every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from His heart.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who's taking us through the book of Exodus this month, and today, message 5 from his brand new series, Faithful and True, a study of the book of Exodus. Now, God brought plagues upon Egypt to make a mockery of their gods and to bring Pharaoh to his knees. The plagues were intensifying. They went from bad to worse, and devastation caused death in Egypt. Today, we'll explore 4 attributes of God's character that we see exhibited in plagues 7, 8, and 9. Right now, open your Bible to Exodus chapter 9. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin describing what's God doing when bad gets worse.
Well, we've been talking about the plagues that God brought upon Egypt to make a mockery of their gods and to bring Egypt to its knees and Pharaoh to his knees. And the plagues came in triplets. First plague in the triplet, the Nile turning to blood. We're through the frogs. We're through the gnats. And then the second triplet were the swarms of flies and stinging things and beetles. And then after the swarms came the pestilence that killed the horses and camels and livestock in the field. And after that, God says, take handfuls of soot and throw it into the sky. And Moses did that, and it became sore boils upon man and beast. And now we start into the last triplet. And the last triplet begins with the plague of hail. And then you have locusts. And then after the locusts, you have darkness. And then the 10th plague, that's the granddaddy of them all. That's a separate thing. That's not in the triplets. And that ushers in Passover. The 10th plague is the death angel. Pharaoh is thinking, as these plagues are coming, surely we've seen the end of these plagues. Surely it's going to get better now, but it just keeps going from bad to worse. And I've entitled this message, When Bad Gets Worse, because the plagues that came upon Egypt, they were intensifying plagues. Now we're getting ready with the hail to see a plague that's going to start killing people. It kills the livestock in the field. It kills the servants in the field. The other plagues, although the pestilence killed the livestock, the other plagues didn't kill people. They hurt people. I mean, you get stung by an ichneumon fly and you get boils and things like that. Those are awful. But then, now God is starting to cause death in Egypt. And bad is getting worse. This is how it begins. Exodus chapter 9, verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time, I will send all my plagues on you and on your servants and your people so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. What is the purpose that God is bringing about with Pharaoh? That he would know, and the Egyptians would know, and the Hebrews would know that God is the only God. We've entitled this series, Faithful and True, introducing the one and only God. Pharaoh asked the question early on, who is the Lord? Who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice? And God is introducing himself to Pharaoh so that you would know that there is no one like me in all the earth. Now remember, Egypt had a pantheon of gods. I mean, they had scores and scores and scores and scores and scores of gods. And when you see the plagues that come about, they are directed at certain gods. And normally more than just one, because they had overlapping gods. And God is destroying their pantheon of gods. And Pharaoh is king in Egypt, but he's more than that. Pharaoh considers himself to be a god. And the death angel is going to be a blow against Pharaoh himself as his own son dies. And God is going to show Pharaoh who is the one true God. Now he says that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. We want to look today at four attributes of God that we see from this last triplet of plagues so that we would know that there is no one like God in all the earth. Some of us don't really know that. We know some things about God, but we're not solid in the truth of his character, of his attributes. How do I know that? It's because when bad things happen to you, you begin to question the love of God, the goodness of God, the character and the nature of God. God wants us to know that there is no one like him in all the earth. And to know these four key attributes. Attribute number one, God is merciful. There is no one like God in all the earth. God is merciful. Now, you could think the way God deals with Egypt, that God is being cruel to Egypt, that he's playing with Egypt almost like a cat that catches a lizard or some kind of a bug or something littler than the cat, and the cat will mess with it for a long time and it tries to get away and then it pounces on it. So we can get the feeling that God is being cruel to Egypt. Why is he doing all these things to Egypt? He's not being cruel to Egypt. He's being merciful to Egypt. He's being patient with Egypt. Look what he says in verse 15. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would have been cut off from the earth. I mean, Pharaoh, I could have just zapped you just like that. From day one, when I sent Moses to you, I could have said, thus says the Lord, let my people go. And if you said no, I could have just laid you waste and your people waste just right then. I just speak a word and you'd be gone. But God didn't do that. And as we read in the scripture, seven times the Lord came, sent Moses to Pharaoh to say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go. Seven times he had an opportunity to say yes, but he didn't. Pharaoh kept hardening his heart and hardening his heart and hardening his heart and hardening his heart and hardening his heart. Seven times he hardened his heart before the Lord ever began to harden Pharaoh's heart. God was being merciful to Pharaoh and to the people. Now, when the plague of hail came, and you know, hail sounds a lot like hell. You got to be careful with that word because it kind of sounds the same, but it's a good connection point because God was going to rain hail mixed with fire on the Egyptians, on the livestock out in the field and on the any servant that was left out in the field. And it was going to be raining down holy hell on the people. This is an awful plague, the plague of hail. Verse 18, behold, about this time tomorrow, you have 24 hours to respond, Pharaoh. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will send a very heavy hail, such as has not been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Notice it says a very heavy hail. That's a play on words in the Hebrew because the word heavy is related to the word stubborn and hard. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. It was stubborn. This is a word that's just like that. Okay, Pharaoh, your heart is hard. I'm going to send you a very hard plague, a very hard hail that's coming upon you. Now, therefore, verse 19, send, bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety. God is giving them an opportunity to save their livestock and their slaves. Every man and beast that is found in the field and is not brought home, when the hail comes down on them, will die. The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. But he who paid no regard to the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Now the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that hail may fall on the land of Egypt, on man and on beast, and on every plant of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky. Remember, the sky god of Egypt was a goddess named Nut, N-U-T. She's not going to be able to do much against this plague. And Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very severe, such as had not been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck all that was in the field through all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. The hail also struck every plant of the field and shattered every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. God is merciful. He is patient with the Egyptians. He tells them this is going to happen in 24 hours. So you guys have time to get your livestock out of the field, to get your servants out of the field, to get them to a place of safety. God is merciful. Habakkuk 3:2 says, in wrath, it's a prayer of Habakkuk, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. And God does, even in wrath. We read about in the book of Joshua, the Lord sends the people in to attack Jericho and to destroy that fortified city. And there's one lady in Jericho who has faith. Her name's Rahab. She's a harlot. And Rahab responds to the word of the Lord and she cries out for mercy. And God sees to it that Rahab and all who are in her household are spared from judgment. God is a merciful God. And he's a patient God. You know, if you had been God, if I had been God, we wouldn't have given Pharaoh chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance to respond. We would have said, hey, you got one chance, pal. If you don't respond, you're toast. But God's not like us. God is very patient and God is very merciful. You know, it's good to remember that when you pray, because you mess up in life and I mess up in life. And when we mess up in life, the devil moves in and the devil will always say to you and to me, God won't forgive you for that. You have crossed the line with God. You have committed that sin too many times. There's no way, there's no hope for you. Here's what the scripture says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest, speaking of the Lord Jesus. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. You need mercy because you've messed up in life. You can come boldly before the throne of grace. God sits on a throne of grace. God has grace for his children. He has mercy for his children. We have a high priest who says, I can sympathize with you. I don't whitewash what you did. I don't just wink at it. I know what you did was sin, but I can sympathize with you because I've been tempted in those areas just like you. And so come to me and receive mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. God is merciful. That's the first attribute we see. Secondly, God is purposeful. God has a purpose in everything he does. God is not willy-nilly. God is not just flying off the handle. He's just not shooting from the hip. God is the God, the book of Isaiah says this, God declares the end from the beginning. God knows everything. He sees it all. He knows everything about your life. He knows everything that's going to happen in your life. From the time you were born until the time you die, God sees all that. He declares the end from the beginning, and he has a purpose in everything he does. All these plagues are strategic. all that come upon Egypt, they are hitting a particular god. And as I told you, Egypt just had scores and scores and scores of false gods. And so the hail goes against the nut goddess, the sky goddess. Seth and Isis are gods over the crops, so they're not doing too well with the hail mixed with fire. Shu, S-H-U, he's the god of the atmosphere, and not doing so well in the atmospheric conditions there, Shu. He's just showing that your gods mean nothing. They can't do anything. Plague number 8, the locusts. They had a god that controlled the locusts and protected the land from locusts. Serapia was that god. He got an F for his efforts to fight the real god. Nepri was the god of grain. Didn't do very well with the plague of the hail and locusts. And then the darkness comes. Ra is the god of the sun. And we have that name Amon-Ra, which is related to Ra, another name for Ra. And then you have Thoth, T-H-O-T-H. That is the god of the moon. But the sun and the moon and the stars, there's going to be no light during plague number 9. God is very strategic in what he's doing. He's not haphazard at all. And he's showing to the Egyptians, to the Israelites, and to the world, to the nations surrounding them, that he is God. Look what he says in verse 15. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would then have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this cause I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. Now that verse, Exodus 9:16, is used by Paul in Romans 9:17. He quotes that verse. For this reason, I raise you up, Pharaoh, to show my power throughout the earth. Now, if God had just wiped out Pharaoh from day one, well, it would have been immediate. It would have shown that God has power, but it wouldn't have resonated to the nations the way he did it. Now, Skip Heitzig brings up an interesting point. See, the question is, how long did all these plagues last? I mean, from the first plague, the Nile turning into blood, until the death angel, how long was that? The Bible doesn't exactly say, but it does give us an insight. The Lord says to Moses, Israel is my firstborn. And Israel is going to come out of the land of Egypt and become a nation. They weren't really a nation before. They were just the children of Israel. Israel is Jacob. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. So when we talk about the children of Israel, it's just the descendants of Jacob. But now Israel's going to become a nation, and they are going to come out of Egypt and be born again, so to speak, and come out of Egypt to settle in the promised land. That is the plan. And how long does it take for someone to be born? 9 months. And so if you look at it from that standpoint, 9 months worth of plagues. Man, news gets around what is going on in Egypt. Egypt is the most powerful country in the world. And those other nations, they are talking about what they're hearing about this stuff that's going on. After plague number 3, so you have the water turned to blood, you have the frogs, then you have the sand becomes gnats. The magicians tell Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. After the hail, they tell Pharaoh, do you not realize Egypt is destroyed? That's, hey, we still got locusts, we still got darkness, we still got the death angel. But after the hail, they said, it's all wrecked, it's ruined, it's destroyed. People hear about that. Rahab the harlot said to the spies, where have you guys been? We heard about what your God did to Egypt. And God allowed that for months, because he wanted word to get out, because he raised up Pharaoh in order to show my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. God has a purpose. Now, the same is true when it comes to your life and my life. God has a purpose for us. And when things happen to us, why, you know, we like it when good things happen. Oh, God, this is all wonderful. Good things are happening to me. But how about when bad things happen? Oh, we don't like the bad things to happen. But nothing comes into your life, nothing comes into my life, unless it first filters through God's fingers of love. And so God allows those things to come in. Why? So that he can show to the world, and the world may be your neighborhood, just the people at your office, the people at your school, to show to them that you love God, you trust God. And even when the hard times come, you're walking with God and you're trusting God. And you're saying with King Jehoshaphat, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. But you know, here's the thing. Things can happen to you and you can say, God is picking on me. Why is God picking on me? He's not picking on you. He's working on you. Big difference. Big difference. So just know God's plan for your life is to bring him glory. That's the only reason that you exist. That's why he created you. That's why he created me. Isaiah 43, verse 7, he's created us for his glory. And Paul said, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, because that's why you were created. And people notice, not in the good times, they notice in the hard times if your Christianity is real. Who can't praise the Lord when everything's going good? Who can't praise the Lord if you say, hey, I won a sweepstakes. They're coming to my house with this big old fat check. It's $1 million. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it great to be a Christian? And the person said, well, yeah, I'd be praising God too if I got $1 million. But how about you get sick? How about you're in the hospital? How about you lose a loved one? Now let's see what you do. You know, you have a choice. You can follow the advice of Job's wife, curse God and die, or you can follow the footsteps of Job and says, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I shall return there. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Lots to learn in this lesson called When Bad Gets Worse. It's just one of eight in Pastor Jeff Shreve's new series, Faithful and True, a study of the book of Exodus. Now, this series, and even the lesson today that we'll complete tomorrow, is important for the world to hear. And we do that every day here at From His Heart, on radio, TV in 182 countries, and always online. Since our founding in 2005, God has done so much more than we could have ever imagined, and he's led you and others to partner with us along the way during this exciting journey. Listen to this letter we received that was a real encouragement to us. Joseph says, I am a recently healed alcoholic and addict, and I've given the Lord control. Your ministry speaks so well to me, and I want to use the money God gives me to not go to alcohol and drugs, but to help reach other people who desperately need the Lord in their lives, like I have. I want to help you continue in your ministry as the Lord continues to give his blessings to me. Now, that's just a delightful letter to From His Heart, and we want to continue to speak into the hearts of people around the world, just like Joseph, to reach them, teach them, and help heal their wounds that only Jesus can. This month is an important one for us as we finish the fiscal year, and we want to end it in a powerful way to prepare us to continue to reach out to even more people in the next 12 months. For your fiscal year-end gift today, we'll say thank you by sending you Pastor Jeff's new inspiring series, Faithful and True. It includes today's lesson, of course. And you can help us share the message around the world with your generous gift today. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org and request Faithful and True on CDs, DVDs, a USB flash drive, or MP3 download. And may God bless you for hearing God's still small voice and responding with a supportive fiscal year-end gift today. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, and we trust you were blessed, challenged, or even more surrendered to Christ today. Tomorrow, part two of the lesson, When Bad Gets Worse. Join us on Tuesday, when we'll again open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is love, there is hope that you always dream of. He can heal every scar. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.